Yep, that's a good picture. Because the title of the sermon isn't like recreational, who wants to go fishing? It's who wants to go fishing? Because it's hard work. It's dangerous work. It's wet and cold work. So who wants to go fishing? I need to tell you, though, that the message I have brought you today relies heavily on some essays written by Debbie Thomas from her website, Journey with Jesus. With this gospel story, we always focus on that final line. From now on, you will be catching people. In the telling of the story in Mark, it's follow me and I will make you fish for people. That's the Sunday school song, right? I will make you fishers of men. That song. Do they still use that song? Because really, I think it's really quite confusing for children then and now. But that's what we remember, the wrap up, the dramatic final line. But there's so much more stuff that happens first before we get to those words that make us uncomfortable because we think we are being told that we all should abandon our lives as they are and go evangelizing. We'll get to that later. First, Jesus gets on the boat of some fishermen who have been working all night. They just hold it steady in shallow water while he speaks to a crowd on shore. This allows him to be separated from the people so more people can see and hear, and sound carries better over water, right? We don't know what Jesus spoke of that day, but it must have had such an effect on these fishermen as much as on the folks on the shore. Do we pay attention to what happens next? Jesus actually tells poor, worn out, sleep-deprived Simon to cast his nets again. They've already fished all night. There are no fish here. It is hopeless. We have so many sayings for this kind of situation. Don't throw good money after bad. Stop beating your head against the wall. But we also say that a winner is a loser who tried one more time. We admire perseverance. We cheer the underdogs. And we who are familiar with the good news know that with God, there is always hope. It's so hard to keep reminding ourselves that there is hope, especially in times like we are experiencing now in this pandemic. These people were living in what seemed to be a hopeless time with Roman occupation and onerous taxes. By the time Jesus started recruiting disciples, the fishing industry in Palestine was fully under control of the Roman Empire. Every body of water belonged to Caesar, and all fishing was state regulated for the benefit of the urban elite. Fishermen couldn't obtain licenses to fish without joining a syndicate, and most of what they caught was exported, leaving local communities impoverished and hungry, deprived of the dietary staple they had depended on for centuries. And the Romans collected exorbitant taxes, levies, and tolls each time fish was sold. To catch even one fish outside of this exploitative system was illegal. Simon, James, and John were not having one unsuccessful fishing trip. Life for them and their community felt hopeless. And now that they haven't caught any fish, they and theirs will be hungry and the taxes will still be due. Can't you just feel it? We all know that life can just be a grind sometimes. You work and work and end up with little or nothing to show for it. You dream and plan and have your hopes dashed. We constantly live in that gap between hope and weariness, enthusiasm and resignation, faith and defeat. We hate to admit it for fear of sounding ungrateful, but sometimes life just doesn't feel worthwhile. Just the same old monotony and failure. As Debbie Thomas puts it, even the most earnest and hardworking of us can land up on shore some mornings with empty, stinking fishing nets tangled in our fingers, wondering what the heck went wrong. The hardest thing to do in these moments is to make the leap of trust that Simon makes. Yet if you say so, I will. Yet if you say so, I will try again. Yet if you say so, I will be faithful to my vocation. Yet if you say so, I will go deeper rather than remain in the shadows. Yet if you say so, I will trust that your presence in the boat is more precious than any guarantee of success. Yet if you say so, I will cast my empty net into the water and look with hope for your kingdom to come. And then we get the miracle. So many fish, they have to bring another boat out to help. And even it threatens to be swamped with the huge catch. And all who are present are amazed, convinced that Jesus has the power of God with him, convinced that there is hope in this world and the next. Simon, who will become known as Peter, tells Jesus to get away because he recognizes the presence of the Holy. That's pretty scary for an ordinary sinful person. This miracle is convincing enough to get Simon, James, and John to heed Jesus' call to follow, but it also makes their departure possible. It has bothered me for years before that these young men were able and willing to drop their work and their responsibilities to go off with Jesus to who knows where. Those don't sound like good Jewish sons to me. This huge catch of fish makes it possible for these guys to leave, knowing that their families and community are taken care of, at least for a while. I don't know who Zebedee will get to help him deal with all of it, but perhaps processing the fish and selling them doesn't require as much skill as the actual fishing. Ooh, maybe it's actually women's work. So now we'll talk about fishing for people. In his book, Binding the Strong Man, theologian and activist Ched Myers argues that we narrow and distort the radical nature of this story when we interpret it as an invitation to issue altar calls. Jesus was not talking about filling pews or baptismal fonts. He was hearkening back to the Hebrew scriptures in which the hooking of fish is a euphemism for judgment upon the rich and the powerful. In other words, when Jesus asked Simon, James, and John to catch people, he was asking them to cast aside the existing social order of power, privilege, exploitation, and domination, and help usher in God's kingdom, a kingdom of justice for the poor, mercy for the oppressed, and abundance for all. He was inviting common people to a new and God-honoring way of life that would bless all people. Jesus's call in this story is rooted in the language, culture, and vocation of his hearers. What metaphor would make more sense to fishermen than the metaphor of catching people? These men knew their trade and the potential dangers and the life and death importance of timing, humility, and discretion. Most of all, they knew the water. They knew how to respect it, how to listen to it. When Jesus called these tried and true fishermen to follow him, they would have understood the call not as a directive to leave their experience and intelligence behind, but to bring the best of their selves forward, to become even more fully and freely themselves. Jesus used the language of fishing because these were fisher folk. This does not mean that everybody receives the same calling. We should realize this. We recognize and talk about it all the time, that different people have different gifts, different talents. If we, each of us, are going to respond to God's call to follow and to serve, we will have to do it within the specific lives, communities, cultures, families, and vocations we find ourselves in. We'll have to trust that God values our intellects, our muscle memories, our backgrounds, our educations, our skills, and that God will multiply, shape, and bring to fruition everything we offer up in faith from the daily stuff of our lives. To the engineer or carpenter, maybe Jesus says, "Follow me and build my people or shelter them." To the visual artist, "Follow me and paint the colors of the kingdom." To the stay-at-home parent, "Follow me and nurture my children." To the dancer, "Follow me and dance the spirit." To those in healthcare, "Follow me and heal broken souls." To all of us, "Follow me and I will make you, well, I will make of you what I need you to be." We don't need to feel guilty as individuals that we are not willing to give up our lives, responsibilities, and families to become missionaries or go study theology or work for an NGO. This is a promise to cultivate us, not to sever us from what we love. That doesn't mean there is nothing we need to give up from our mostly comfortable lives. Perhaps we will risk being ridiculed or rejected from some social or even professional circles. We are still called to fish for, to catch people, to share the good news, to ease suffering. People who are caught in nets of exploitation, corruption, poverty, war, exile, homelessness, violence, disease, climate change, racism, sexism, homophobia, the list goes on and on and on. What would count as good news for them? Simon, James, and John left their nets and followed Jesus. They shared the gospel, the good news, in their lives and stories. We all have something valuable to contribute in service to others, in helping to transform this world. What is your good news for hurting people, and how will you share it in the turbulent waters of your time and place? Amen.